Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swann.
Ready, set.
Just call me Swanny.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swann back in the saddle. Once again, it is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400, the Midlands, heard around the world on the iHeartRadio app, our website, put the .com on it, doggone it, Clemson Sports Talk. .com. Coming up in hour number two, Tim Beray joins us. Looking forward to chatting up with him, not only about the Clemson Tiger baseball team, also tonight, a incredible moment in the history, a short history, a limited history of the Clemson Tiger softball team as they will take on Oklahoma State in the Super Regionals. If they win two out of three, they can win two in a row or two out of three. They would advance to the Women's College World Series in just their second full season. Third year, second full season. 803-450-0086. That's the way that you can be a part of this program. Again, a huge game as well at 7 o'clock tonight for your Clemson Tiger baseball team as they take on one of the top-ranked teams in all the country in Virginia Tech. And again, I said this yesterday, and I will hold firm on it. Absolutely, you can be disappointed in the performance that Clemson had against North Carolina on Tuesday. I don't blame you. It was abysmal. Giving up runs in five consecutive innings, getting beat down 9-2 in a game that felt like still one of those kind of must-win ball games. But if that game were played on Friday instead of Tuesday, and this were game one at the ACC tournament tonight, and this is where you need to get your head, and this is where the team needs to get their head going into that ball game. If that 9-2 loss was tomorrow on Friday, and the opportunity to play game one at the ACC tournament was today against Virginia Tech at 7 o'clock, then you would tell me we need to win this game one. Because you would tell me that if we won game one against Virginia Tech, who, by the way, is a better team than North Carolina, has a better rating, ranking, RPI, all that, than North Carolina, you would tell me, Swanee, this is the one we got to win, and then it doesn't really matter what happens with North Carolina. Like, that is what you would say. And that's where you need to be. That's where you need to be as it pertains to tonight's matchup against Virginia Tech. You need to be in the seat that says, this is the game that's of the utmost importance. And if we win that one, yeah, it would be great if you could beat North Carolina. Now, in reality, you know you're going to lose tomorrow 9-2. But the point is, you would need to win this game. And that didn't change by losing on Tuesday 9-2 to North Carolina. Clemson beats Virginia Tech. It's really no different, in my opinion, than had they beaten North Carolina. Sort of offset would be the fact that when you lose to North Carolina, it's a bigger blow in the loss column. But this is a Clemson team that has done a tremendous job when you talk about picking up those Q1 wins. So we'll see how it all plays out. Again, I get it. 9-2, just disappointing fielding. The Tyler Corbin error that allowed two runs early in that ball game, sort of a heartbreaking type of two out, what looked to be a routine fly ball, maybe misplayed it, maybe missaw it. Then at the end, I mean, has a glove on it and just drops it. Yeah, that's not an ideal circumstance. Not an ideal circumstance at all. But tonight's game can counteract all of that for this Clemson Tiger baseball team. So a big day, one on the diamond, one in the circle. Clemson baseball and softball both. Postseason to a degree. Postseason lives on the line. You lose to Virginia Tech, and the baseball team is probably not going to get into the NCAA tournament. You lose game one against Oklahoma State on the road, Stillwater, to the Cowgirls. Hard to imagine you bounce back and win two. Could happen. But all of a sudden you put yourself, you know, your back is against the wall in a hurry. Our website again, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Check it out right now. For just $1, you can get 3 months of coverage of your Clemson Tigers. And then if you like it, stay with us and support us for just $63.17. Also, don't forget, from 3 until 4 o'clock, each and every day, my buddy Rob Sanders hosts the Rundown. From 9 until noon, talking sports with Teddy Hefner. Right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400. That's on your iHeartRadio app. That's on your Amazon Echo. I don't hear much about the old Google Homes anymore. I don't know if the Google Home, have they stopped investing in that, or is it still a thing that people are using? I know a lot of people bought them. But yeah, your streaming device at your house, you just say, hey, Shlomo, play Fox Sports Radio 1400. A lot of times, if you want to hear this show, you can get the podcast by simply saying, hey, Shlomo, play Clemson Sports Talk. Now, don't say Shlomo. Like, I've worked with people that aren't as tech savvy, so to speak, and you can't say the word Siri or the A word that goes with Amazon. You can't say those because it throws the device off, or Google, you know. And so I just insert Shlomo. I just put Shlomo in there. And one time I was showing somebody and I said, look, all you have to do, I said, say, hey, Shlomo, call Lawton. And then he took his phone. He said, hey, Shlomo, call Lawton. And it didn't do anything. I said, no. You still have to say Google. Don't say Shlomo. I learned that from my buddy Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 803-450-0086. All right, back to Clemson sports here on the show that shakes the Southland. John Rittman, Marissa Gambarda, Ali Logaleo met with the media after practice yesterday. Here's some audio from the trio as they prepare to take on Oklahoma State later tonight.
Yeah, definitely really excited to be a part of Super Regionals, especially here in Stillwater, and very proud of our team and the effort that it's taken to get this far in the NCAA tournament. You know, we've had a great year. We've played a really tough schedule to prepare us for this moment, and looking forward to a great series against a great Oklahoma State team.
Coach Rittman was also asked about the fact that this was just Clemson's second full season playing softball, and, you know, if he had to take a step back and just think, wow, you know, kind of assess where they are.
No question about it. You know, there are times when we have to pinch ourselves and make sure this is really happening. You know, certainly no one could predict this, you know, success as quick as we've had it. But, you know, we've worked really hard. We have a great group of players, a great culture, And, you know, a lot of credit goes to our team. You know, they've just really worked hard and believed, and you know, we're here and excited about it.
The girls were asked whether or not they, you know, were surprised to be sitting where they were today, you know, heading into this series, or was it something they expected when they arrived at Clemson?
This is what I came to college to do. I was recruited by Coach Rittman, and I trusted him to build this program and make it what it is today. I didn't think it would be this fast, but this is definitely what I came here for. These are the games I wanted to play.
Yeah, I would agree. This is why I transferred. This is why I came here. I wanted to be a part of this. I mean, I remember, like, was just thinking on the flight over here, like, I remember, like, sitting in hotel rooms, you know, at night games being like, Dad, wake me up in the seventh inning so I can see who wins. Because it's, like, late games, just like we're playing tomorrow, and I'm, like, falling asleep on the couch, right? And I'm like, Dad, wake me up so I can see the end of the game. And I'm just thinking about, like, all the 9, 10, 11-year-olds who are going to be asking their dad to do the same thing tomorrow night. And these are big games. They're fun. You know, none of us have been here before. So I'm just slowing the game down, trying to have all the fun that I can, knowing that we're going to do the best we can and hopefully win.
Coach Rittman was also asked about the late start time. Again, a 9:30 Eastern time. It'll be 8:30 Central. And whether or not that was something that could affect his team going into the ball game.
I think it's certainly an adjustment, but, you know, you're playing in a big game, so we'll be ready to play. And obviously, you know, softball players and travel ball, you know, they're used to playing at weird times. And, you know, in the summer you have all the rain delays and lightning delays and tornado warnings. So they're used to going home and then coming back. And I think this time of year you could play in the middle of the night and we'd be okay with it.
And, Coach, I'll ask this one to you. I know the Cowgirls, we talked to them earlier, have had a chance to look at a little bit of video and stuff mm-hmm. on you. What have you seen about your opponent?
Well, we've watched Oklahoma State, obviously, a lot of exposure in our sport, so we've been able to watch on TV and certainly pay close attention to their series with Florida State, you know, because we were scouting Florida State at the time. But we, you know, they're a well-coached team, great pitching depth, play outstanding defense. And they hit the ball well. You know, I think they're a lot like us, where offensively they struggled a little bit at times during the year, but they're peaking at the right time.
John Rittman was also asked whether or not people knew the Oklahoma State brand. They, you know, he was asking, he said, look, I know people know the Oklahoma brand, but do they know the Oklahoma State brand?
Well, I do. I mean, I've followed Oklahoma State for years, and, you know, Kenny Gajewski's an awesome coach. I know John and Coach Cottrell as well, and, you know, coaching fraternity is pretty tight, and I know that they've done a great job here in building this program, and you know, the softball world's pretty tight knit, so I'm sure our players have played against their players at some point in time, but yeah, Oklahoma State's a name in softball.
There you have it, John Rittman and the Clemson Tiger softball team as they get prepared to take on Oklahoma State, the Cowgirls, tonight out in Stillwater, Oklahoma. 803-450-0086. And so it got me thinking. I mean, obviously, this is a brand in Oklahoma State that you don't play all that often in any sport. I know the football team has never played Oklahoma State. I do recall one of my earliest memories of football was South Carolina taking on Oklahoma State many, many moons ago. I believe that was a Gator Bowl matchup back in 1984. Then Clemson baseball did play Oklahoma State back in 2016 in the regionals, I think, at Clemson. Clemson was eliminated by Oklahoma State in that one. I'm not sure about basketball and Oklahoma State. I tried to look. I couldn't dig it up, and I don't want to go into the too deep into the wormhole to try to find that. But, again, it'll be your Clemson Tiger softball team and the Oklahoma State Cowgirls tonight out in Stillwater, Oklahoma. 803-450-0086. Yesterday on social media, Pat Mahomes dropped a little dime on everybody. We retweeted it. We're at Clemson Sports. You can follow us over there very easily to keep up with everything going on in the world of Clemson football, baseball, basketball, and more. Pat Mahomes said about an incredible catch from Justin Ross. Craziest part about this was dude acted like this was normal after he caught it. A one-handed grab, falling away. And I saw some people say, yeah, but he didn't get both feet in bounds. On contraire, mon frere, I look back at it, and yeah, that's a catch. By the way, I just texted Tim Beret to find out about, I figured Tim's coming up on the program. I'm not going to dig into it too deep. I'll just text the man. He said, yes, we beat Oklahoma State in basketball in Hawaii in December 1993. Sherrone Wright made a bunch of money that night as he kicked big country Bryant Reeves with 25 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 blocks, and Clemson won that ball game. Remember big country? I think he died. I mean, I don't want to, like, be the bearer of bad news, but Clemson won that game 68-65. And now I'm wondering if Tim Beret just knew that. I want to say Big Country Bryant. No, he's alive. Okay. Big Country's still alive. No. Maybe it was that basketball goal that he killed that day. Remember that dunk in the NCAA tournament or during a warm-up where he broke the basket? Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Okay, good to know Big Country's still alive. I wonder what that guy looks like now. Played at 7'4", 290 pounds at Oklahoma State. I want to say his two front teeth were knocked out as well. I mean, the name Big Country was befitting Big Country, Bryant Reeves. There is no doubt about that. And he spent about 6 years in the NBA playing with the Grizzlies. Most points he ever averaged was 16.3. Listen, 16.3 and nearly 8 rebounds a game. I don't think anybody's going to knock that from a lot of players, let alone a big fella named Big Country. If you're a youngster tuning into the program and you've never heard of Big Country Bryant Reeves, throw that in your Google machine. I wonder if his breaking of the backboard is available on YouTube. Let me throw this in real quick and see if I can find that highlight, because I'm sure it happened in the NCAA tournament. Oh, yeah, here we go. Somebody uploaded this video 9 years ago today. Did he? And I'm also seeing another video. It looks like he may have broken maybe more than one. I'm not certain here. I'm going to check this out. Big Country Bryant Reeves before the Final Four, Oklahoma State and Arkansas in the Final Four. Man, this is throwback highlights here, folks. During warm-ups, there it went. On a reverse jam, broke it, shattered it. Oh, that's awkward. Golly, I didn't realize he led Oklahoma State to the Final Four. I mean, I'm sure there was a point in my life I did recognize that, but I didn't remember it. Let's see if we can get this audio on this backboard breakage.
Brought the house down near the end of practice.
We was just doing a drill where one of the coaches tossed it up off the backboard. You go get it and you stick it back in the hole. You know, you try to dunk it. And Coach Dickey gave me a perfect pass off the backboard, so I decided to try to dunk it backwards. And when I did, it just happened to shatter. And the only thing that I heard was a big crack, and here come glass devil.
A few pieces of glass had to be pulled out of the back of the neck of Reeves, but other than that, he was okay. And the legend of Big Country had grown even bigger.
There you go. So if you had Big Country Bryant Reeves on your bingo chart today, congratulate yourself. You could cover that spot. I did not see that coming. Again, Clemson Tiger softball tonight against Oklahoma State out in Stillwater. That is a 9:30 start on ESPN2. 803-450-0086. It is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk as we roll along here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 in the Midlands and around the world on the iHeartRadio application. Download it today. It is free. And, of course, we appreciate each and every one of you for being a part of what we do. And look, you want to hang out with Tim Beray, right? So stay with us because Tim Beray is coming up in hour number two. Do not leave. You want to be here for that. It's going to be spectacular hanging out with Tim here on a Thursday afternoon. Back at it on a Thursday, the show that shakes the Southland. Don't forget Tim Beray coming up in hour number two. We're talking about Big Country, Bryant Reeves there before the break. And it actually reminded me of an email that I received earlier this week talking about, you know, the great players in sports of all time, so to speak. And, you know, I can remember when Trevor Lawrence led Clemson to the national championship as a freshman. I mean, I remember legitimately thinking in that moment, you could be seeing a young man whose mark that he left on the sport was so indelible that perhaps he could be considered the greatest player that we ever saw. Now, the problem that you run into a lot of times is that the great ones today don't play 4 years. And even though he would lead Clemson to another national championship game and another college football playoff in all of his three seasons, you still, I think, had this hang-up with Trevor, and it was by no fault of his own.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
But he was supremely talented. There is no denying that fact. But by virtue of not securing multiple national titles, like a Tim Tebow, who, look, I don't think anybody would say that Tim Tebow is a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. And the other thing is Tim Tebow's first title, he was more of a positional quarterback than, or situational quarterback than, quote, the guy. And so that was Leaf, who was the quarterback for Florida that year, back in, what, 2006, I guess. And then Tebow got a title in 2008. But he was the consummate winner. And I think at times Trevor Lawrence made it look effortless in the way he won, in the way he played. I even asked him at one point, and people kind of chuckled about it, but I asked him if, you know, the opponents thought he was soft because of how effortless he made it look. And I didn't mean that in a negative way, like, hey, you're not a tough guy. Just that you make this game look like a symphony. You make this game seem easy. And so people don't believe that you are working very hard. And Lawrence didn't know how to answer it. And a lot of people gave me some grief about the question. But I didn't mean it in the negative connotation of you can't take a hit. I just meant in the sense of, man, you're so fluid and smooth with the way you play. Do you think other people don't really respect your toughness? All that being said, it didn't pan out for Trevor Lawrence to be considered one of the greatest players or the top 10 greatest players of all time, which quite frankly, is going to be reserved in some respects for the guys who have Heisman trophies. Nobody's denying that fact. And then I think, too, we've done a great job with making sure that the big names from yesteryear are still recognized. And I think, lastly, because of the nature of the position, in the 60s, maybe 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s, when the game was played on the ground and the running back had to touch the ball virtually every play, I think that is this the right word? I think we have conflated.
English. Who needs that? I'm never going to England.
I'm going to stick with it and say that is a word. I think we have conflated the matter of fact, now that I've said it twice, I'm going to just punch it in and make sure before I go any further. Conflate means to combine two into one. Oh, that's definitely not the usage I was looking for here. I was looking for something where we've blown it up, but not inflate. There's got to be something similar. But I think because we've justified the use of the running back at such a high level. I mean, you look at the rushing yard to say a Herschel Walker put up during his career at Georgia. 5,259 yards and 52 touchdowns, averaging 159.4 yards per game. You know, we truly put the running back's numbers in a rarefied space because of the frequency in which they got the ball prior to being more willing to throw the football. And so whether it's Barry Sanders or Earl Campbell or the great Jim Brown or Archie Griffin, the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner, you know, whether those are the names that you would perceive to be at the top of the list is certainly your right. But we have seen elite and great quarterbacks in recent memory. And where a guy like Trevor Lawrence would rank on that list would be interesting to see. And whether it's by position or overall, who are the greatest? RJ Young from Fox Sports put together a list a while back and in the past year. He had Cam Newton at the top of that list as the greatest player in the history of college football. And I do think that Cam's run, the championship he won at Blinn, JUCO, at the JUCO as well, was a substantial notch in the proverbial belt of how good of a player he was. Like, where he went, you won. Reggie Bush was number two on that list. Vince Young's phenomenal national championship game against Southern Cal resonates, that 06 Rose Bowl. Tommy Frazier at Nebraska. Herschel Walker at Georgia. Jerry Rice at Mississippi Valley State. Dan Morgan, the great linebacker at Miami. Baker Mayfield, the quarterback at Oklahoma. Steve McNair, quarterback at Alcorn State. And then Tim Tebow checked in at number 10. I mean, if that's the honest list, sort of removing the heavyweight numbers of running backs as a reason to put them at the top, then I would assume in that scenario, Trevor's probably at six, in my opinion. Certainly higher than Jerry Rice, Dan Morgan, or Baker Mayfield, given what he did on the field at Clemson. What are your thoughts? Text us, 803-450-0086. Back at it, rolling along, the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk on Twitter, at Clemson Sports. Join the 24,000-plus followers at Clemson Sports. So, Baker Mayfield, the justification for him being the eighth greatest player of all time, according to R.J. Young, and again, just one man's opinion on it. He said Baker Mayfield in 2017 became the first ever player to begin his career as a walk-on and win the Heisman. And he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks ever. He finished fourth in the Heisman voting in 2015, third in 2016, and won it in 2017. He left Oklahoma with a 39-9 record, leading OU to two college football playoffs. So I decided to look at the college stats of Baker Mayfield. And again, Mayfield checked in at number 8. I think if you're going to have Baker Mayfield on the list, Trevor Lawrence with a national championship and another national championship appearance probably deserves to be higher than Baker Mayfield. But what if statistically, you know, what if statistically, collegiately, Baker Mayfield was a better quarterback? Now, what I want you to remember too, though, Trevor Lawrence had the unfortunate circumstance of having to play during the COVID-19 season, which was a shorter year, so less games. So that is some of the statistical numbers that we'll look here. Additionally, Baker Mayfield played a year at Texas Tech, so he has an additional college season under his belt. And so that in and of itself is something that can skew these numbers quite a bit. Trevor Lawrence played in 40 games all time during his college career, while Baker Mayfield played in 48. Ironically, though, Mayfield played in 40 at Oklahoma. So the exact same amount in those three seasons at Oklahoma. So you can safely remove the Texas Tech years, even though that's a freshman season, mind you. And when you compare them, I mean, the numbers are fairly similar. I was a little bit surprised, to be honest, that it did end up in the long run favoring Baker Mayfield just a little bit. But the numbers are the numbers. Now, Lawrence, again, national championship, 29-game winning streak. National championship game loss, college football playoff semifinal loss, all bursts in the college football playoff. But Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma, 40 games. He had 808 completions versus Trevor Lawrence's 758. So 50-plus more completions for Baker Mayfield at Texas than Trevor Lawrence. He also had about, I guess, 19 more total passes. So he's a little bit more efficient than Trevor. He had 29 more touchdowns, 119 to 90. And then he also had 4 more interceptions than Trevor Lawrence. Now, I have some theories on this, mind you. And part of it is the fact that I think Clemson more frequently would have blown out opponents. Thus, Trevor, if we looked at, instead of games, we looked at minutes played, I get the sneaky feeling Trevor's minutes are probably significantly less than Baker Mayfield's minutes played. The other thing is that Clemson, more often in recent memory than Oklahoma, when the Tigers had Travis Etienne, would put up numbers in the run game that maybe Oklahoma didn't always achieve with Baker Mayfield. Statistically, it's hard to argue against Baker, but the championship, the 29-game winning streak, those would be reasons that I would put Trevor in that top 10. And I think furthermore, everything that Trevor accomplished that his freshman year has to be highlighted, because what we're looking at for Baker is a sophomore, junior, and senior campaign when you're a little bit more mature. You don't want to run Baker Mayfield's freshman season up against Trevor Lawrence's freshman year. It's going to be an obliteration. And so had Lawrence had a fourth year and played in 15 games or so, I believe he would have put up more numbers than even Baker Mayfield in his four seasons. Lawrence would have projected out to have a greater year than what Baker had as a freshman. Easily. And that would have catapulted him in the mind's eye of people statistically. But I think statistically he's right there with a national championship, with a second undefeated season into the national championship. The way he decimated Alabama in that 44-16 win. Like, all of those things come together. All of those things come together for me as to why I would vault Trevor Lawrence up. And look, it's no offense to Jerry Rice or Dan Morgan. I don't need to see your statistics to know that I believe a quarterback to be the most valuable player. Thus, Cam Newton at the top of Reggie Young's list, and Vince Young third, and Tommy Frazier. And for all I know, I might could go in there and look up the Vince Young numbers, and I might could argue against Tommy Frazier simply if we talked about quarterback in terms of the downfield passing game. Tommy Frazier and what he did at Nebraska, phenomenal. But that was a ground-style attack. 803-450-0086. We'll hit a quick break and give you some updates on the NBA and the NHL when we get back here on Clemson Sports Talk on Fox Sports Radio 1400 and on the iHeart Radio app. Thank you again for being here, Clemson Sports Talk, on a Thursday. You know, I said we're going to do NBA and NHL. Let's push that back. Let's push that back because I got a couple of other things. I can't say stick with the topic that we were just on, but I do remember how we got there. This came from an article on the alternate history and NIL stars and what players would have been at the top of the NIL as far as money making over the past 30 years. And that's where I kind of got into the thought process of how do we compare Big Trev, the giant killer, to these other players in recent memory. And quite frankly, I hold Trevor in maybe higher regard than some of these national media members. But the reality is, Ari Weizerman took a look at it for The Athletic, and he came up with Tim Tebow being on top of the list. And look, if you think about the marketing side of Tim Tebow, it's not beyond the realm of possibility to believe that, kind of given his religious stance, that there would have been many companies around the country clamoring to have him stand in front of their program. His leadership skills, absolutely. Now, on the list, they did put in Arch Manning at number two. Arch, of course, still in high school, but the name Manning, many people believe, gives him the opportunity to be one of the most marketable names in college football. Johnny Manziel, the way he was showcased at Texas A&M, had the A&M Aggies, who had the number one recruiting class. Sorry, Jimbo, no accusations here, just stating the facts with NIL. Maybe Manziel makes some bank there. Reggie Bush. You know, to me, Bush probably challenges as high as anybody. As high as anybody on that list because of the nature of playing at Southern Cal, under Pete Carroll, at the highlight of that dynasty. During that era, you know, the cash would have been flowing his way, one would have guessed. Where would Trevor Lawrence have been? You know, it's tough, and I think this is always going to be tough to assess with Clemson because you're not a large market. You're not somewhere that people are knocking down your door. The advantage of Trevor Lawrence, however, is that he's probably big enough that had he acquired a, quote, marketing deal, then it would have been a national sponsorship. Like, if Trevor Lawrence didn't have the Prel shampoo or some conditioner commercial, like, I would be shocked. If Trevor Lawrence wasn't pitching, you know, State Farm or Geico or somebody, or, you know, that's just kind of the nature of how big he was. And so that would also have enhanced his ability to make money at Clemson, but I can't deny that I think there's more value to be the quarterback at Southern Cal. I think there's more value to be the quarterback at Miami. I think there's more value, quite frankly, to be the quarterback at, say, Houston. And that's the dynamic of NIL in this new landscape that we're all going to be dealing with, is trying to functionally understand why players decide to go where they go, if not for NIL bucks, when someone arrives at Jackson State. And I think Houston is probably the most significant ball player that hardly anybody talks about because of that market. The one thing holding it down is it's a crowded market. Huge city, crowded market. You got to go up against the Texans. You got to go up against the Astros. You got to go up against the Rockets. So it's a crowded playing space. But if we're going to talk about eyeballs on the face of a college football player, then that's got to be a city that you start to consider. Now, whether or not Texas A&M or Baylor or other programs in and around the state of Texas, even the Longhorns in Austin, can they capitalize on eyeballs in major markets in the state of Texas? Maybe so. And that might be the thing that thwarts Houston to a degree. But at this point, when you eyeball guys past, present, and future over the past 30 years, whose names would have picked up big money. Look, Trevor Lawrence, given the way he was his freshman year, I can only imagine what would have been pouring in to him as a sophomore. I mean, it would have been an absurd amount of monetization of Trevor. And the only thing keeping Trevor from probably doing all of that would have been Trevor's own sort of tamped down version of himself. Like, I don't think Trevor would be somebody that would say, yeah, I would desire that kind of crazy spotlight. You know, he's going to do the Subway stuff. He's going to do some ads here and there, but I don't know that that's going to be the thing that's going to cover him up. I think his desire is to be a champion. And that'll be the thing that pushes him. Now, at the back end of his career, maybe he does more of that kind of stuff. But until he gets a ring, I think Trevor's all in on that side of the job. We'll hit a break. We'll come back. Legendary Clemson SID Tim Beret joins us. Stay with us.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set.
Just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Is hour number two. That's Drive Time right here on the show that shakes the Southland Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swan with you. And as always, on a Thursday afternoon, legendary Clemson SID Tim Bure joins the program with a lot to talk about here on a Thursday. Tim, welcome in. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Good to be with you, Lawton. I'm actually talking to you from Benton Harbor, Michigan, where I'm working the senior PGA this week for NBC, the old guys, but you know, there's a lot of familiar names that play in this tournament, guys that played on the regular tour for many years that are now on the senior tour. So it's kind of fun to see them play again.
I'm punching it into my Google Maps as we speak to take a look, to kind of get an idea. Okay, so... Oh, man, that's right in your wheelhouse right there. In,
yes, you will notice that I'm very close to South Bend, Indiana. In fact, I came up yesterday. I flew in and out, flying in and out of South Bend. So I did go by yesterday and see my good friend Digger Phelps at his home. Spent about an hour with him. And then I saw former Clemson coach Anthony Solomon over at the Notre Dame basketball arena. So I spent a little time over there and finished off tonight with dinner at my favorite restaurant in South Bend, Parisi's, which I am giving a plug for if you're a Clemson fan listening to this and you're coming up here for the November 5th Notre Dame-Clemson game. I recommend that as a great place to go have a nice Italian dinner the night before the game.
Well, and I'll say this too. I was actually talking to somebody yesterday about Clemson and Notre Dame, and that's something I think because, you know, 2 years ago when Clemson goes up there, it's COVID-19, it's an empty stadium basically. So many people that had planned to make that travel weren't able to do so, and so this year, I mean, projecting out to November and believing that we'll still be sort of living a somewhat normal life, I can imagine there's going to be a lot of orange that will be rolling up to South Bend, Indiana for that one.
Yeah, I think so. I think the away ticket distribution is 4,500 tickets. I think Clemson gets 4,500 tickets, and I'm sure they're all going to get used. And you're right. It was and it was a great game. It was just a shame only 7,000 fans were there for that game 2 years ago, a double overtime thriller. So I'm sure both teams are supposed to be really good again this year. So it'll be definitely the most attractive game on Notre Dame's home schedule. They do go to play at Ohio State in the season opener. They got to go to play at Southern Cal in the last game of the season. And Southern Cal all of a sudden is in the national championship hunt with a couple of the transfers and their new coach, Lincoln Riley.
Tim Bure joins us here on the program every Thursday afternoon to talk about your Clemson Tigers and the landscape of college football. And so, Tim, I do want to begin, though, with a couple of events going on in Clemson right now. And, of course, this evening, a historic night for the Clemson softball program as they will take on Oklahoma State. And I just think about the fact that this program is so young, yet this opportunity is sitting right in front of them. You know, John Rittman's done a tremendous job. This pitching staff with Millie Thompson now available has become an additional weapon for this group. And, you know, win, lose, or draw at Stillwater, I think the track record has been set that this program is probably going to be one to keep your eyes on moving forward, because to have the success they've had so early, to me, I said it yesterday, it feels like you've kind of added gasoline to the fire, so to speak. Like, it's going to be very hard, I feel like, to kind of slow the tide, if you will, of Clemson softball.
You know, if you watch that regional final game on, what was it, Sunday? Yeah, Sunday. Boy, the atmosphere was just terrific, and the celebration, and the thing I got a kick out of actually was something was not shown in the broadcast, because it was a half hour after the end of the game, is they took a team picture right at home plate, and the crowd, there was every seat was packed with fans behind them. I just thought that was the neatest picture, and Coach Rittman, I heard him comment on it when he was interviewed on a local station after the game. But yeah, what they've done has been amazing. The only thing that can be close is that, you know, when we started women's soccer in 94, I think it was, you know, we got to the NCAA tournament that first year, did lose in the first round, but did finish 13th in the final poll. So actually the women's soccer did have a higher final ranking in their first year than, and I consider the first year softball last year because COVID cut off the 2020 season. But as far as getting to the final 16 of an NCAA tournament in just the second year, you know, this is the first Clemson program to do that, male or female. The women's soccer should give them props. Their fourth year, they actually got to the Elite Eight, which is equivalent to getting to the College World Series for softball in the fourth year under Tracy Leone. So that was pretty good also, obviously.
Tim Beret with us here. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tim Beret. So I've kind of posed this question a little bit this week, and I'll get your thoughts on it. It's sort of a twofold deal, Tim. So one, it really felt like a year ago, and I don't mean to take away from the team that was around her, but it felt like it was Valerie Cagle and the Clemson Tigers softball team, and she's done a tremendous job this year, both at the plate and in the circle. But when you add the addition of Millie Thompson, a lefty, into the mix, I think it's possibly relieved some of the pressure, maybe, so to speak, that Valerie maybe carried with her a year ago. So that would be kind of question one. Do you see that when you look at this team? And then question two, yeah, I don't watch a ton of softball, you know, I will say, but to have a lefty in the circle, the advantages of that, and maybe I'm not talking about this if Millie Thompson doesn't have the regional series that she did, but I mean, is that also something that's unique, just to have a lefty in there and give pitchers give batters a little bit of a different look?
Yeah, your first point is right on. You're right. It was Valerie Cagle against the world, it seemed, last year. But this year, definitely more well-rounded, and, you know, Valerie seemed like she pitched every game. I know that wasn't the case last year, but now it's, you know, a little bit more balanced. And of course, second time around, you know, they're going to be, Valerie has the attention of the opposition. You know, her batting average isn't quite what it was last year. Home run total's down a little bit. But you're right. She's had some other players who have really stepped up around her. So in hitting, in addition to pitching. So that's been great to see the transfer from NC State. Frank Russ's daughter also has really, you know, helped in a number of areas. Now, as far as the lefty righty, you know, if you apply it to your theories of baseball and, you know, having that combination to be able to come in at the left-handed batters with the left-handed pitchers, I don't know if it's as meaningful in softball as it is in baseball, but obviously it's something that's worked out pretty well for the Clemson team this year, having that combination.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it has been something to watch, and it will be fun to watch again tonight for Tiger fans, and then tomorrow two shots, and then if necessary, a third game on Saturday. Tim Beret joins us here, legendary Clemson SID, and you mentioned Russ, Tim, got a little name drop during the ball game the other day, and so her father had what? Give me the steals number that was presented during the ball game.
Yeah, so Valerie Johnson is the SID for Clemson women's softball. Does a great job, but I obviously knew a few things about Frank Russ, her father, that, you know, she wasn't born. Valerie wasn't born when Frank Russ was playing for the Tigers. And, of course, I witnessed his whole career. He played for Clemson from 1980 to.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
83, and I remembered that he was a pretty good base stealer, so I texted her that she comes, Sam Russ comes by it naturally, and Frank actually had 59 steals in his career in 74 attempts, and he is tied for, or he's 11th in Clemson history in total steals, but he never had quite the single season that his daughter has had in softball. The most steals he had in a season was 21, but he was really a 4-year starter for us on the infield, and really had a very good career. In his first year, Clemson went to the College World Series, that being the 1980 College World Series, which was also the first year that Clemson played host to a regional. So a lot of similarities and combinations this year with Clemson softball and that 1980 Clemson baseball team that also had freshman Jimmy Key on it, and who was a great all-around player. Neil Simons was a senior who was still the only four-time first-team All-ACC baseball player in Clemson history.
And so just a couple of years after Tim arrives in Tigertown back in, I guess, 78, you win a national championship. The baseball team goes to the College World Series. Basketball's in the Elite Eight. Tim, you're thinking that you're at that point. You're going, man, it's going to be busy around here.
You know, today we have the the Director's Cup that ranks all around sports teams. Well, before that, in the late 70s and early 80s, the Knoxville Journal used to do an all-around sports program, and it was at a different scoring system. Unfortunately, although Title IX had started, but basically the Knoxville Sports Journal took 10 men's sports and did a rating system based on that. It didn't factor in women's sports at all, which at times have changed. But anyway, that year in 79-80, Clemson finished third in the nation in the Knoxville Journal's all sports rankings. We had back-to-back years of third and fourth. And that 79-80 academic year, as you say, we went to the Elite Eight of the NCAA basketball tournament. We went to the College World Series, which is also the Elite Eight. Now, the football team was still a couple years away from winning the national championship, but did have a very good fall of 1979. season. We won some ACC championships in cross country and in outdoor track. The soccer team got to the national championship game. We really had quite a year in 1979-80.
Unbelievable. And I know for all our Clemson Tiger faithful listed, many great memories during that time. Tim Beret, legendary Clemson SID with us. Let's talk a little bit about the baseball team. Tim, so obviously tonight's game is a big one. There's no question. Virginia Tech, the RPI, they're ranking nationally. And I tried to calm fans just a little bit yesterday by saying, listen, if you flip-flop the schedule of these two games and you knew you were going to lose 9-2 to North Carolina tomorrow, and then today you had a chance to beat, you know, a top five, top seven program in Virginia Tech, you'd be plenty happy about that. Is that the way Monty Lee's team needs to look at this game tonight, is that even though they lost an opportunity against North Carolina, there's technically a bigger opportunity in front of them? I mean, I don't think anybody's got the mindset that if Clemson loses tonight that they're going to be in the postseason. It's going to be tricky at that point. But, I mean, with a win, they're probably in a better spot than they would have been technically had they beaten North Carolina and then lost to Virginia Tech, I would assume.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, most committees will, you know, look at, no matter what the sport is, you know, who did you beat, where did you beat them, you know, did you beat the really good teams, did you show your capabilities? And so, yeah, Virginia Tech is the number one seed, and, you know, they've been in the top 10. You know, if Clemson were to win tonight's game, that would be 14 quad one wins, which would be among the top. Of course, the 13 was number ninth best in the country going into the ACC tournament. So, you know, that would certainly be looked on favorably. But you're 100% right. If you had to go 1-1, if you could beat Virginia Tech and lose to North Carolina, that would be better than the opposite. So if Clemson were to lose to Virginia Tech, it's going to be the ultimate bubble situation when you look at the RPI, and they beat Virginia Tech, I think they'll get in.
Well, it will be a challenge tonight for sure against the Hokies. And I know that the Clemson Tiger faithful that were so concerned yesterday after the Clemson defeat on Tuesday, they get one more shot at it, guys. Don't forget that. That's what I tried to tell the listeners. I said, look, they got another shot, and it's a big game, and it's a big-time opponent at the Atlantic Coast Conference. I'll ask you this final question about the pool play format. I know coaches, I guess, I'm throwing some air quotes here, I guess they like it because of pitching, but personally, Tim, I mean, what do you think about it? I don't love the fact that Clemson's already out of the semifinals. I don't like the way it sets up.
Yeah, you're right. I understand it. You know, this came about, God, I don't remember. Was it 10 years ago? Was it 7 years ago? There was a situation. I think Georgia Tech ended up playing three games in one day. Maybe finished one and then played two more. But anyway, they ended up winning the ACC championship, and then they hosted the NCAA regional, and they went 2-0 at home. And the coach at Georgia Tech basically said, we burned all our pitches in the ACC tournament, and it just, you know, messed us up. We had no chance because we had to play so many games. They had to come to the loser's bracket. There was rain, and so they had to play all these innings on the last day of the tournament. So that's why it changed. And, you know, I understand it. I mean, if you play an 8-team double elimination tournament, I think you could play six games in the max. I know Clemson had done that before. It depends on the format that you play. So I understand it. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of like the old 8-team double elimination tournament. We hosted those in Greenville in the 80s and early 90s, and it was very exciting. But I certainly understand it. I mean, the grand prize we're looking for is the College World Series, and it does make more sense than your pitching staff and your players in general to play a fewer games in the ACC tournament.
Well, Tim, enjoy your time up at Benton Harbor. I know Tiger fans appreciate you taking some time out to hang out with us, and we definitely look forward to talking with you next weekend. And I am crossing my fingers that we are talking about these young Tiger softball players making a run to the Women's College World Series. How cool would that be?
Yeah, it'd be quite an accomplishment to win it to Oklahoma State. Of course, you know, they're a very good team. I want to say Oklahoma's only lost two games all year, and one of their losses was to Oklahoma State. So
it was.
Now, they're, of course, that's a great rivalry in itself. But, the games are going to be at night, and so we're off the air in time for me to get back and watch it. So I'm going to tune them in.
There you go. Tim Beret, follow him on Twitter at Tim Beret. Tim, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Take care, Lawton.
How about that? Benton Harbor, Michigan. Yeah, I honestly, so I worked with a guy one time that was from Michigan. He was from the Upper Peninsula. They call them Youpers. So anytime somebody says, oh, something about Michigan, I always want to know if they're a Youper or not. But Tim is not. He's in the Lower Peninsula, I guess. And I guess that's what you call it. And so he's right there, and I see South Bend, Indiana, looks like a couple of miles away. Probably further, but looks like a couple of miles. All right, we'll hit a quick break. We'll come back with more on the show that shakes the Southland. Back at it on a Thursday. Always great to catch up with Tim Beret. I love his insight. And, man, what a cool gig, too, working at the Senior PGA Tour event. And being able to travel, and he was telling me off the air about all the stats and the things he puts in. But he said one of the coolest things about it is that if a player hits a hole in one, you know, they'll have instantly the ability to queue up and play the hole in one that player had 10 years ago. Like just the incredible ability to have all of that stuff sliced and diced. Like, I struggled. I told you this the other day. I film my son's soccer games. And I don't just film my son. I film them for film study. I struggle to get those bad boys uploaded. I get to have a full-time job. Plus, I get to spend each afternoon with you fine folks. So, I mean, it makes sense that I'm pretty busy. But even still, that's tough. I can't imagine if I had to slice it up by every shot from the left side with his right foot, or every shot from the right side with his left. Like, nope, no can do. Don't have that kind of time in my life.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
803-450-0086. We talked a lot in hour one about NIL money, value, greatest players in college football. You can always chime in on that if you're catching the podcast and you're just getting home and you want to text us, you can. 803-450-0086, 803-450-0086. And I promised you that we would get into the NHL and the NBA updates. We'll do that coming up in the next segment before we get you out of here. This is a big day for the Clemson Tiger baseball team. Must win tonight against Virginia Tech, no question. Softball, boy, if they were to sneak a win late tonight against Oklahoma State, that would be huge. But staying with football here for a minute, some game times were announced of the early matchups in the ACC, including three of Clemson's game. The season, of course, starts at 8 o'clock on ESPN Labor Day as the Tigers take on Georgia Tech at Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta. The following weekend, that's 5 days later, September the 10th, that's the only thing I hate about a schedule like this. I hate that you got 12 weeks of regular season football, and you're going to blast through two of them in 5 days. Ugh, it's going to feel like 10 weeks. September the 10th, you'll be taking on Furman on the ACC network at 3:30. And then the following weekend, September the 17th, a primetime 8 o'clock game on the ACC network. Now, if you are a I hate nooners, I hate early kickoffs, I hate hot weather kickoffs, hey, thumbs up here. There were many years where Clemson was sort of in the doldrums of college football, and you were a noon kickoff team on the regular. Not now. 8 o'clock opener in Atlanta against Georgia Tech, 3:30 against Furman, 8 o'clock against Louisiana Tech the following weekend. Now, some of the other notable matchups out there with time starting for you out of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Thursday, September the 1st, West Virginia and Pitt will play at 7 o'clock on ESPN. You've also got a matchup between Louisville and Syracuse opening ACC play at 8 o'clock on Friday, September the 2nd on the ACC network. You've got the All-State Louisiana kickoff in New Orleans between Florida State and LSU. That's going to be at the Caesars Superdome, 7:30 on ABC. Then on Friday, September the 9th, and obviously I'm skipping that Clemson-Georgia Tech game since we already mentioned it on the 5th. Friday, September the 9th, Louisville's at UCF. That's a 7:30 start on ESPN2. You've also got a matchup between Tennessee at Pitt. That's a game we talked about a while back. 3:30 on ABC is the kickoff of that game, plus an Atlantic Coast Conference matchup between Boston College and Virginia Tech. That's an 8 o'clock start at Virginia Tech on the ACC network. And again, those are Saturday, September 10th football games. Then you've got on September the 16th, Florida State at Louisville. That's a Friday night 7 o'clock game on ESPN. You also get into some ACC-SEC matchups with Ole Miss at Georgia Tech on September the 17th. That'll be a 3:30 start on ABC. You've got Miami at Texas A&M as well in the ACC-SEC matchups, 9 p.m. on ESPN September the 17th. And an interesting game to kind of keep your eyeballs on for NC State as they host Texas Tech out of the Big 12 at 7 o'clock on ESPN2 on September the 17th. So quick little rundown there of some of the early season matchups and game times. Another one to perhaps keep your eyeballs on as well during that time of the calendar year, if you will, could be Purdue at Syracuse. That'll be noon, September the 17th on ESPN. There is no doubt about the fact that Dino Babers, who I like, is on the hot seat. He is on the hottest of seats in college football. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at coaching hot seats, the hot seat report for football, heading into the 2022 season, Dino Babers sits on the sixth hottest seat in college football. By the way, Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech sits on the third hottest seat, and Jeff Scott sits on the second hottest seat in college football at South Florida. Top of the list, Scott Frost at Nebraska. So that's a quick look at some of the matchups in college football. When we get back, NHL, NBA segment, we'll get after it right here on the show that shakes the Southland. It is Clemson Sports Talk on Fox Sports Radio 1400 in the Midlands and heard around the world on the iHeart Radio application. Stay with us. Clemson Sports Talk, Lawton Swann, a Thursday. Getting a little late in the program. Getting a little long in the tooth. Where in the world did that saying come from? Getting a little long in the tooth. I don't know, man. It's got something to do with being old. Do teeth get long? Getting a little long in the tooth. What? Where does that come from? That's what I gotta know. Where does getting a little long in the tooth come from? You guys get me in the Google machine every once in a while. Long in the tooth. Where does the expression, the phrase, long in the tooth come from? Here's your Jeopardy moment, kids. Buckle up. Uncle Swanee's taking you to school. The phrase long in the tooth means that something or someone is old. The stove in my kitchen is the same one when I first moved in a decade ago. However, lately it's been struggling to heat things. I realize that it is long in the tooth. So I guess I have to buy a new one. Where does that phrase come from? It's believed to originate from horses. Or more specifically, horses' teeth. Because the older a horse gets, the longer their teeth become, kids. So it's possible to give an approximation for how old a horse is by simply looking at their teeth. There you go. Yeah, lessons with Swanee. Some would say those segments are getting a little long in the tooth. Uncle Swanee's here to coach up. Kids in the back seat. When somebody fires that question up on Jeopardy, boom goes the dynamite. What is horse's teeth? That's the correct answer. All right, so NHL, NBA updates galore. All right, here's what went down last night in the NBA. On the road in Miami, the Boston Celtics put the Heat on the brink of elimination. They have turned the Heat up full throttle. 93-80, and it wasn't that close. The Celtics head home with a 3-2 advantage. That series has been back and forth, but the Celtics go into Miami, get another win on the road, and now claim home court advantage for their own. Can Miami flip the script again, as they did in Boston previously, and get a final game on their own home court? Tonight, the Mavericks also hanging on by the skin of their long teeth, if you will, to keep this going, hanging on by the skin of their teeth. 9 o'clock on TNT, Golden State favorites by nearly 6.5 points. Certainly my favorite to win the NBA championship. They are at home with a chance to close out Dallas. One little caveat here about this game. If Luka and Dallas can send this thing back home, I mean, if that happens, I do want to go on the record and state that I think you probably play a game 7 because of the momentum that Dallas will carry into that home matchup. The problem, in my estimation, for the Mavericks is this. I don't think they escape Golden State tonight. While Luka is becoming one of the best players in the NBA, the triumvirate that he is facing off against offensively with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole, along with the unique defender that he sees from time to time in Draymond Green, certainly makes it a more difficult situation for Luka than he would like. That's probably, you know, when you look at it, one of the things that the Mavericks were able to do against Phoenix was take advantage that the Suns didn't really have anybody that could match up with him very well on the interior and on the perimeter. And that's what Draymond Green, you know, has the ability to do. Green said, quote, "You've got one guy who has the ball a lot and he makes plays for everybody and he's incredible at doing it. You've got a bunch of guys who can shoot the lights out of the ball, and that guy is doing enough to find them no matter where he is on the floor, what position he is, and how many people are around him." While the pick and roll game has been nice for Dallas, this game on the road is a beast of a challenge, because Warriors fans know that they can close this out and they can advance to the NBA Finals. And it's hard for me to believe that you're going to have this ball game come down to something that's tight. I think that the weight of the win will weigh heavy on Dallas, and I think the home court advantage will help push the Golden State Warriors into the finals tonight. I like Golden State by 15 or so. I think they'll win it by a wide margin. Finally, in the NHL, it is a big, big matchup for the Carolina Hurricanes. That series, both home teams have won both games. It is 2-2. Canes Rangers, my Hurricanes, your Hurricanes, our Hurricanes. Tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN. I don't think you can afford to go down 3-2 going back on the road to New York and you haven't won a game on the road in the postseason. Also tonight, Edmonton looks to close out the Calgary Flames. 9:30 on ESPN. Edmonton up 3-1 in that series. They are moving through the finals, or moving through the playoffs and towards the finals in both leagues. I think tonight Golden State punches their ticket, and I'm hopeful that our Carolina Hurricanes can take one step closer to the conference championship. With a break, we'll bounce back. We'll put a big old bow on the show that shakes the Southland right after this. Stay with us.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Thursday afternoon of what could be a historic Thursday afternoon, as John Ripman and the Clemson softball team take on Oklahoma State tonight, 9:30 on ESPN2. What a huge game for the Tiger softball team. Here's Coach Ripman and some of the players prior to the game.
Yeah, definitely really excited to be a part of Super Regionals, especially here in Stillwater, and very proud of our team and the effort that it's taken to get this far in the NCAA tournament. You know, we've had a great year. We've played a really tough schedule to prepare us for this moment, and looking forward to a great series against a great Oklahoma State team.
Coach Ripman was also asked about the fact that this was just Clemson's second full season playing softball, and you know, if you had to take a step back and just think, wow, you know, kind of look at, assess where they are.
No question about it. You know, there are times when we have to pinch ourselves and make sure this is really happening. You know, certainly no one could predict this, you know, success as quick as we've had it. But, you know, we've worked really hard. We have a great group of players, a great culture. And, you know, a lot of credit goes to our team. You know, they've just really worked hard and believed you know, we're here and excited about it.
The girls were asked whether or not they, you know, were surprised to be sitting where they were today, you know, heading into this series, or was it something they expected when they arrived at Clemson?
This is what I came to college to do. I was recruited by Coach Rittman, and I trusted him to build this program and make it what it is today. I didn't think it would be this fast, but this is definitely what I came here for. These are the games I wanted to play.
Yeah, I would agree. This is why I transferred. This is why I came here. I wanted to be a part of this. I mean, I remember, like, was just thinking on the flight over here, like, I remember, like, sitting in hotel rooms, you know, at night games being like, Dad, wake me up in the seventh inning so I can see who wins. Because it's, like, late games, just like we're playing tomorrow, and I'm, like, falling asleep on the couch, right? And I'm like, Dad, wake me up so I can see the end of the game. And I'm just thinking about, like, all the 9, 10, 11-year-olds who are going to be asking their dad to do the same thing tomorrow night. And these are big games. They're fun. You know, none of us have been here before. So I'm just slowing the game down, trying to have all the fun that I can, knowing that we're going to do the best we can and hopefully win.
Coach Rittman was also asked about the late start time. Again, a 9:30 Eastern time. It'll be 8:30 Central. And whether or not that was something that could affect his team going into the ball game.
I think it's certainly an adjustment, but, you know, you're playing in a big game, so we'll be ready to play. And obviously, you know, softball players and travel ball, you know, they're used to playing at weird times. And, you know, in the summer you have all the rain delays and lightning delays and tornado warnings. So they're used to going home and then coming back. And I think this time of year you could play in the middle of the night and we'd be okay with it.
And, Coach, I'll ask this one to you. I know the – Cowgirls, we talked to them earlier, have had a chance to look at a little bit of video and stuff on you. What have you seen about your opponent?
Well, we've watched Oklahoma State, obviously, a lot of exposure in our sports, so we've been able to watch on TV and certainly paid close attention to their series with Florida State, you know, because we were scouting Florida State at the time. But we, you know, they're a well-coached team, great pitching depth, play outstanding defense. And they hit the ball well. You know, I think they're a lot like us, where offensively they struggled a little bit at times during the year, but they're peaking at the right time.
John Rittman was also asked whether or not people knew the Oklahoma State brand. They, you know, he was asking, he said, look, I know people know the Oklahoma brand, but do they know the Oklahoma State brand?
Well, I do. I mean, I've followed Oklahoma State for years, and, you know, Kenny Gajewski's an awesome coach. I know John and Coach Cottrell as well, and, you know, coaching fraternity is pretty tight, and I know that they've done a great job here in building this program, and the softball world's pretty tight knit, so I'm sure our players have played against their players at some point in time, and but yeah, Oklahoma State's a name in softball.
There you have it. Get ready for that matchup. What a huge game. What a huge opportunity. Can't wait to tune in to watch it. Plus, the Clemson Tiger baseball team must win. That's the way I'm circling this game tonight against Virginia Tech, the top seed in the ACC tournament, one of the top teams in the country. I mean, that's the thing. You got to flush it, as Monty Lee said. The loss to North Carolina is in the rear view. Got to have that windshield mentality that Dabo Swinney talks about so much. If they do, I think they are capable of winning this game. The problem might be starting pitching. But as I said, if you lost to North Carolina, I said this the other day, you probably go Johnny Holstaff here and do everything you can to get the J-O-B-D-O-N-E. I mentioned some start times for all our Gamecocks peeking over the fence, hanging out with us here today. We'll get you out of here with this, a little bit of information. Georgia Bulldogs will play South Carolina at noon in Columbia on ESPN. That news coming out earlier today. That is a September 17th kickoff at noon on ESPN. Of course, Georgia opens the season against Oregon 3:30 p.m. in Atlanta on ABC. So, There you go, Gamecocks noon kickoff at home against the Georgia Bulldogs September the 17th. It'll be roasting. Whew, that'll be a hot one. All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you so much to Tim Beret. Thank you all for hanging out with us here on the program today, and best of luck to the Clemson softball team tonight as they take on Oklahoma State. Until tomorrow, as always, y'all take care now, and of course, go Tigers!
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.